There's something really encouraging in the first reading today. In the very early life of the church, we already see a structure that's developing. So St. Luke tells us when this question comes up, do converts to the faith also need to take on themselves all of the Jewish laws, especially circumcision? When that comes up, the church gathers to talk through it, to pray about it. But when that happens, we're told already that when they gather in Jerusalem, they're welcomed by the church as well as by the apostles and the presbyters. So the presbyters are those who are already functioning and acting in a priestly way. Even now, the archbishop has a group of priests around him that help with certain decisions and things he's making, and it's called the Presbyteral Council. It's a council of priests who he advises, or who advise him. But so the presbyters are priests, but they're singled out and distinct from the apostles, whom we now would call bishops. But this is in the earliest days of the church. So I don't want you to overlook this really encouraging thing. The Lord has a plan for his church, which includes a structure, and it's already unfolding. He's already giving it guidance. And that doesn't come by way of a paper blueprint that he gave to his apostles just before his ascension. It comes by way of the work of the Holy Spirit. And sometimes the Lord makes it really clear what he's doing ahead of time. Other times he allows what seems to us to be kind of a certain kind of organic unfolding of things. For example, the order of deacons comes about because there's this moment when, gosh, we have all of the believers who need to be fed, and we need people to help feed them. And the Lord raises up this order of deacons. And so we have deacons, we have priests, we have bishops, all very clearly, evidently at work in the life of the early church. But it seems at times, from our point of view, that it can happen organically. Other times it seems like the Lord is very clearly already got a plan that he's letting us know, like to Peter, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The whole point is, this is really good news for us, because it's his church, and he knows what he's doing, and he has a plan. And even our own failings cannot so completely interrupt the Lord's plans that the church would not prevail against the gates of hell. So there's something that's just super encouraging here that we can then apply back to ourselves. Just as he has a plan for the church and is at work unfolding that plan, so too he has a plan for us. And he is in charge, and we are free, we know that, and we can choose things other than him, we know that too. But when with goodwill we keep our heart opened up to the Lord, we can trust that he's going to be at work, and that his grace is going to be unfolding in our life. And so in the end, the truth is what Jesus says in the gospel: without me, you can do nothing. I'm the one who is the gardener who's pruning you. My Father, he's the vine grower. He's the one that gave you life. So my Father is at work. I am at work. Without me, you can do nothing. It's just really good news that he's in charge. As we go into the rest of our day, whatever it may hold, let's ask the Lord for that grace to rejoice in that truth. Lord, this is your church, and you are in charge of her, and you have a plan for her. I belong to you as part of your church. I am the branch in you that you're pruning, that you want to trim, that you're wanting to bear fruit. And Lord, this is not about what I do for you, because without you, I can do nothing. This is about what I allow you to do in me. And there's such good, reassuring news in all of this. But let's pray that the Lord will allow this truth to really set deeply in our heart as we move through the rest of this day.